Exodus, the 8th chapter, I want to read verses 20 through 24 just to begin with. I'll pray and then we'll continue to work through, actually through chapter 10, verse 29 this morning. Exodus 8:20. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants, on your people, into your houses, and your houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow the sign will occur.' Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants. The land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt." Loving Father, we thank you that we can trust you. We've just sung that truth. And we look to you. We are needy. Our lives depend on you. Our next breath is given through your good hand. And so, Father, I pray that we can just lean into you today to a greater degree, and that our vision of you and our recognition of you, our honor that would be to you, would grow. And I pray it would be the same toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Your people have gathered today. They need to hear from you. I pray you would use your Spirit and your Word to do so. Father, you've granted us this week so many blessings, and your hand has been on this congregation. You've brought healing. You've brought hope. You've brought blessing. And Father, you're well aware that there are others that we are asking that you would intervene in their lives and touch them, that they may experience healing for their bodies. And Father, you brought healing for our souls through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, whereas we, as those who are appointed to wrath, can be released from the penalty of our sin and be given new life through Christ, and we give you praise for that. Father, I pray you'd help us to grow, everyone in Christ here today who's listening, those online as well, that they wouldn't be satisfied with where they're at in their walk with you, in the sense that they're just kind of hit a neutral in their spiritual lives, but I pray they would be hungry to grow. And Father, if anything good is going to happen here today, that is up to you, and we need you, and may we respond as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's going on here? Why are these plagues unfolding like they are? We looked at those last week. We'll continue today. The final one will come October 9th when I will share that with you. Why are they happening? Because there's a man who is seen as a god to the people of Egypt. He has enslaved an entire nation, the nation of Israel. God has made a promise to Abraham some 400 years earlier about this event. Genesis 15:13-14, God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers." And what we're looking at today are the descendants of Abraham's offspring, the Hebrews. They'll be strangers in a land that's not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. "But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve." That's what's going on. God is judging this nation. Afterward, they'll come out with many possessions. The nation of Egypt, God's judgment is pouring out on them. There's a man, Pharaoh. He's stubborn. He's proud. He's full of himself. He will not bow the knee. He will not submit to God, to the God of heaven. God continues to give him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Yet, he will not. But the end is in sight. Egyptians are suffering. He's suffering. These plagues are coming. Keep in mind, remember this. This didn't have to go down this way. At any moment in time, he could have surrendered. He could have bowed the knee. He could have repented. But he did not. He refuses. Again and again, Moses has approached him. Again and again, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He's given freedom. He could have given freedom to these Hebrews, but he will not. Again, a stubborn man with a stubborn heart. Now, let's see this unfold through these plagues. This fourth plague, it's a plague of insects. I've just read you that. Now, every plague is aimed at gods that are worshipped in Egypt. Now, as the Egyptians watch this unfold, their gods are powerless to the God of heaven. God is doing that to proclaim His glory, but also that He might reach the hearts of these people. The gods impacted in this fourth plague of insects is Uchit, a god who manifested himself as a fly, considered the fly god of Egypt. And the impact is there are flies everywhere. It's on people, it's in their homes, it's on the ground. A couple of years ago, we camped out on Lake Michigan, on the shores of Lake Michigan. There's a certain there's smiles already. You guys know what I'm going to say. There's a certain time of year when it is absolutely miserable to be on the shores of Lake Michigan. We happen to time it perfectly. And if you set your plate down, immediately flies just attacked it. If you went to the beach, if you had shorts on, they would be all over you. They'd be biting. It was miserable. But that's nothing compared to what these people are experiencing. You'll note as well, this is on the first three plagues, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and the Egyptians experienced them. God has now placed the plagues only on the Egyptians. The people of God are exempt from this. From here on, that's what you'll see in every judgment that God is giving. And He wants him to see that He alone is God. There's no one else. No one else. Pharaoh's response, he tries to cut a deal with God. Look at verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go sacrifice to your God within the land." Now God is saying, no, you need to turn all of my people loose that they may serve me, they may worship me. Moses says, I'll do that, but within the land. That would not have worked. It was against what God had called for, but there's other reasons it wouldn't work as well. But Moses said, it's not right to do so. Here's the reason. For if we sacrifice to the Lord our God what's an abomination to the Egyptians, there's going to be trouble. So they see animal sacrifice to God, the God of Moses, as an abomination. They needed to go. It says, if we sacrifice what's an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go a 3 days' journey in the wilderness, sacrifice to the Lord our God as He commands. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you. I'll make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people of God go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication. He prayed. This is Moses as a servant of God, interceding before the Lord. Verse 31, the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. Not one remained. Not one fly left in the land. That's something only the God of heaven can do. You would think enough, right? But, verse 32, Pharaoh hardened his heart. This time also, he did not let the people go. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. Exodus 5:1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who's the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Besides, I will not let Israel go. That's the heart of Pharaoh. He says, I don't know him. I'm not going to do it. We're seeing that played out again and again and again. Now, God knew this. He talked about it. You remember as well, as a response to this, remember, it's been a couple of weeks ago I talked about this, that Pharaoh, the response from God's people, Pharaoh, what he did, he said, I'm not letting him go. And besides that, you guys have too much time on your hands, and that's why you want to go sacrifice. So I'm going to increase the workload of those slaves that I have in my possession. They're still going to do their daily allotment of bricks. They must gather. They're going to do that themselves. But they have to gather the straw to make those bricks, which has previously been delivered to them. This caused a great grief between Moses and the Hebrew leadership. God basically says, hey, don't sweat it, Exodus 6:1, Moses. I haven't even begun to do anything here yet. You'll get to see what I'm going to do. God encouraged Moses in chapter 6, those following verses, time and again with looking at himself. And by the way, as you guys have read, many of you have read what we're reading this morning, and I'm thankful for that. But you notice how many times we've addressed this situation where God's people are enslaved, and now they're trying to carry out their workload. The plagues have started, and we hear no more of it. Why? Well, Pharaoh's building projects have been put on hold. They're not even on his radar. Right now, survival is. It's just a side note. God cares for his people. He will get them through. First plague we're looking at today, actually the fourth plague, the plague of insects. Pharaoh's response, verse 32, Pharaoh hardened his heart, this time also, and did not let the people go. What a stubborn man. What a hard heart. The next plague, plague number 5, the plague of livestock, Exodus 9. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on the livestock which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But the livestock of the sons of Israel, no one died. Pharaoh sent, behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people go. God's impacted. Ptua, Apis, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing any of these right, and neither do you. Emvis and Hathor. These gods consisted of sacred bulls and cows that were worshipped by the Egyptians. Now, put yourself in their shoes again, in their sandals. These are gods that they've worshipped, they've prayed to, they've given to. They've taken care of their cattle as gods, and now they're gone. And Moses told Pharaoh, tomorrow, a very severe pestilence is going to come tomorrow at this time. Here's a circumstance where one should worry about tomorrow, because God's judgment tomorrow will fall, and it did. Now, I don't know what Pharaoh's response would have been in that moment of the impending judgment of God. I don't know if he was anxious to see if this would really happen. He should know it would. Or concerned about his people at all. I don't know if he slept well that night or if his sleep would have left him. Before I trusted Christ as Savior, I have to tell you, I would worry about what would happen if I died that night or tomorrow. Having escaped the wrath to come through faith in Jesus Christ, that is no longer something that is my concern at all. I praise God for that. But if you were in Goshen, a Hebrew, do you know what you didn't have to worry about? You didn't have to worry about tomorrow, because this plague wasn't coming to you. And if we're in Christ, we really have nothing to worry about either. God's in control. He's got our days numbered. And he will carry us safely over into his eternal home. There's a sense we really do have it made, don't we? Praise God. Praise God for his grace. Here's Pharaoh's response. His heart was hardened. He did not let the people go. His people, they're burying or burning the dead livestock. I don't know how they took care of them. Well, Pharaoh keeps telling himself that it's going to be okay. I can get through this. Stubborn heart. Stubborn heart. Next plague is boils. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the land of Egypt. It will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt. So they took the soot from a kiln, stood before Pharaoh. Moses threw it toward the sky. It became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on the Hebrews. If I had been a magician in that day, I would have retired. I would have moved to another land. This is not working out. There's a power here that is so much greater than our black magic, than our dark power. But there they are, and it broke out on them right before Pharaoh. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, verse 12. And he did not listen to them, just as the Lord has spoke. Unreal. So there it is, this plague of boils. The gods impacted Sekhmet, Egyptian god of epidemics, Serapis, Imhotep, Egyptian gods of healing. If ever there was a need for healing, it was now. But these gods are left powerless to do anything to stop this. Now the extent of the boils is on man and beast. Look at verse 11. They were on the magicians as well as the Egyptians. And it just touched everybody. They all had it. Pharaoh's response, verses 14 to 17. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants, your people, so that people may know that there is no one like me on the earth. For if by now I have put my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain in order to show you that my power, show you my power in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. God just, he just puts it together. If you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go, I'm going to keep bringing it, Pharaoh. And here's God just saying, you've got a hard heart. Nothing is turning him toward God. You have to wonder what Pharaoh's thinking through all of this. Perhaps his hope is found in that every plague eventually goes away. And he somehow makes it through. I don't know what he's thinking. But I know this, his stubborn, hard heart is not only hurting him, but his family, his friends, and a whole nation. Plague of hail. Plague of hail, verse 18. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail, such as not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now, therefore, send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Let me stop right there. You've seen that all the livestock has died. Now we're talking about livestock again, and you're wondering, how does that happen? Remember whose livestock were not affected? The Hebrews. And they have much in regard to livestock. The price of livestock has gone up in the last few days, and they're taking advantage of it. I believe the Egyptians bought livestock from Israel. Every man and beast that's found in the field, verse 19, is brought and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants, his livestock, flee into the houses. There were those that heard this, knew about it, said, get in. Bring the livestock, get in the houses. Verse 21. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants, his livestock, in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand, verse 22, toward the sky, that hail may fall on the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, on every plant, on the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky. The Lord said, thunder and hail. And fire ran down on the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck all that was in the field. Through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast, the hail also struck every plant of the field, shattered every tree of the field. What a disaster. What a disaster. Why? We've got a hard-hearted man who refuses to humble himself before God. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron, said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and the people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord. Verse 28, for there's been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, that you shall, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out to the city, I'll spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there'll be no hail no longer. And you will know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear, the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened late. So Moses went out of the city before Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord. The thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. But Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, the thunder had ceased. He sinned again, hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken with Moses. Plague of hail. God's impacted Nut. N-U-T. Not kidding about that name. The Egyptian sky goddess, Isis and Seth, protector of crops, they're impacted. This is so dramatic and intense, it killed those who were in it. This hail didn't come down on the people of God, just those in Egypt. And notice, there were those who paid no regard to the word of the Lord. I've got that marked in my Bible. That there were those who didn't fear God. They paid no regard to the word of the Lord. And they will reap the consequences. So true, isn't it? To set aside God's word, to pay no regard to what God has said, that is just plain foolish. Pharaoh's heart toward God influenced those around him. Do you see that? Verse 31, he hardened his heart, he and his servants. He and his servants. Pharaoh's heart toward God influenced everyone he came in contact. He and his servants. Here's another tragedy to the king's stubbornness. He's going to take others to an early grave with him. Our fear of God, brothers, sisters, our fear of God or lack of it impacts those around us. One can rebel against God. One can walk as a believer, setting aside God and impact those around them in a terrible way. Or, the other is true, we can walk with great fear toward the Lord and have a positive impact. One needs to humble themselves to God. You know, this is something I thought through this week. And I'll just say it in a sentence. One can rebel against God and have a mess, or humble oneself to God and experience His best. Plague of locusts. This is the eighth plague. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of the servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son, your grandson, how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And you know, we're still telling it today. You know, this is something that Moses experienced. He could tell his sons, his grandsons, everyone around him. And it's still going on. We're still talking about it today. The great work of God. Verse 3, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? What a question. What a question. It's a question for the ages. It's a question for every man and woman under the sun. If we are refusing to humble ourselves, how long? How long? Are you going to do that to your grave? I have to tell you, when I was first here as a pastor, there was an individual that had come across some things in her lives and was discouraged with the church. And this father, this grandfather decided, I'm stepping out. I'm not going to be a part of that. He's a believer. And I went and visited him. It had been years now that have gone by. And the issue was, it was nothing. Anyone can find an issue, a reason to not be involved in the family of God. He found one. And I said to him, how long? You've been this many years. When? I will tell you to this day, he's in the same spot. And it's a tragedy. It has impacted his family big time. It could have been very different. We need to be so careful. We don't become prideful and stubborn and say, you know, I got this. I got it. I can work my way through it. That's what Pharaoh is saying. He's saying, there's a way and I'm going to find it. And God says to him through Moses, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I'll bring locusts on your territory. And you know what happened? They came. They came big time. This plague of locusts, The God's impact is Serapia, Egyptian god who protects from locusts. Again, what are the people thinking? We worship this god. You know, there's locusts everywhere. They've come upon the land. It says here in verse 6, your houses will be filled, and the houses of your servants, the houses of all the Egyptians, something which neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have ever seen from this day that they came upon the earth until this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve their God. Do you not realize Egypt is destroyed? That's what is going on. That's what's been brought. Chapter 10, verse 3. How long, how long, how long? And even the servants, they say this, let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed? He brings them back to speak to them. Pharaoh does, tries to cut a deal by letting only the men go, but ultimately refuses to let them go. You know, when God gives a command, a man doesn't get to make adjustments to it. He doesn't. His word is his word. There are not many ways to God as the world and religions preach today. The word of God is clear. There's one way. There's one way. As believers, we cannot define what a godly life looks like. God's word defines that. Our response is to obey. Pharaoh's second response in this is seen in verses 16 to 20. He doesn't let them go. Verse 20, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He did not let the sons of Israel go. Plague of darkness. Last plague we'll look at today, chapter 10, verse 21 to 29. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. So Moses stretched his hand out toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. But Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore, our livestock too shall go. With us not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God until we arrive there. We ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die. Moses said, you're right. I shall never see your face again. If you can imagine the darkest darkness you have ever been in, this was worse. It completely shut down life for 3 days. No one moved. According to verse 21, it was a darkness that could be felt. I don't believe it's ordinary pitch darkness. I believe there's more here. I believe it's like there's something in the air, like a smoke or a dust, and light can't penetrate through it. The gods impacted Re, Amun-Re, Atum, Horus, the Egyptian sun gods, Thoth, Egyptian moon god. Their ability to bring light to the darkness that enveloped Egypt for 36 long hours has vanished. That's 36 long hours. I didn't compute that right. That's 72. They were able to see anything with it. They've never seen anything like it, and they couldn't do anything about it. Pharaoh's response, I'll cut a deal. Partial obedience is simply disobedience. Pharaoh again was moved by the plague and sought to let God's people go on his terms. Moses makes it clear that's unacceptable. A parting word in verses 28 to 29. Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Listen, if I see you again, I'm going to kill you. That's what he's saying. And Moses, if I see your face again, Moses says, you're right. You're never going to see my face again. Now, if you're wondering, which I have, as I've read this scripture, because Moses goes to him one more time. He does see his face again. What's this about? What's being said here? I believe when Moses says, you're right, you'll never see my face again. Every time Moses has gone to Pharaoh, it's an appeal to let God's people go. The last plague, we'll cover that October 9th. The last plague, he doesn't ask anything of Pharaoh. He comes in and he says, this is what's going to happen. The appeal is gone. Judgment has come. I believe that's exactly what's being said here. All right. Stubbornness, right? Hard-heartedness. And because of that, the wrath is about to come on on Pharaoh and his people. I came across this some years ago. This slide. This year, thousands of men will die from stubbornness. That's what the sign says. Below it, no, we won't. I find this to be hilarious. But I also find it to be ironic. Because I believe that can be in all of us. Just a stubbornness toward God. As believers, I believe this can be the case. You know what? I know what God's calling of me. I know where He's been pricking my heart, speaking to me, and I'm just like, I'll work a way through it. Stubbornness. May that never be us. And if it is, may we run to Him now. It can be a stubbornness to obey God's word as a believer. It can be a stubbornness to say, you know, that whole thing about faith in Christ, this one way to God, that you only need to go outside the doors of this church to find out that's a different story. I want you to know it's not a different story. God's the one. God's the one who defines the terms on which we come to Him. A couple truths to live by here. I want you to grab these. God will and must judge sinful man. If He's a righteous judge, if He's a holy God, He must deal with sin. God will and must judge sinful man. This is a truth that may be hard or uncomfortable to accept. It's a truth that it's set on the back burner when it comes to defining God. We hear of Him being loving and gracious and kind. We try to define God. Man does on his own terms. The same with our Lord Jesus Christ. God defines who He is. He says, I'm a righteous judge. So, if He's just and righteous, He one day will judge sinful man. Acts 17:31, Paul speaking, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising from the dead. Everyone will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Believers, it's a judgment of reward. If you're in Christ, praise God for His grace. That's a judgment of reward. If you're an unbeliever, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you will stand at the great white throne judgment, the most horrific judgment you will see in Scripture. The outcome is sure. Yours will be separation from God for all eternity. God will and must judge sinful men. Secondly, one can rebel against God and have a mess, or humble oneself to God and experience His best. It can be very hard to trust God and to give up on ourselves, but I want to encourage you to grow in this area, humbling yourself to God and His Word. It's the best. He has your best in mind. Now, our hearts will tell us other things at times, and we'll think, oh, I got it covered, I can do it. Trust the Lord. Lastly, this is a little lighter, but it's so deep. Praise Him for His grace. Praise Him for His grace. But for the grace of God, I could have a king of Egypt-like heart. Think of His amazing grace. He saves, He loves, He keeps, He blesses His people. Egypt is immersed in darkness, but across the way, just a little way, in the land of Goshen, there's light. There's life-giving light on the people of God. I will say to you, I'm amazed at His grace to me. I praise Him for His grace to me. And if you know Him as Savior, you do the same. You do the same. But for His grace, and speaking to me, and bringing the Word of God to me, and allowing the Spirit of God to bring that to my heart and opening my heart to Him. No hope, but with it, citizen of heaven. Listen, folks. If you're in Christ, don't ever get over it. I still am amazed. Praise Him for His grace. Amen? Amen. Listen, someday the door will close on the opportunity, if you're not in Christ, to trust Him. Someday the door will close. The next time that I preach this, the door will have closed for Pharaoh. Now, there's a bit after that, but really, essentially, it's closed. Today is the day of salvation. That's why the Scripture says, and there's an urgency to the gospel. There's also an urgency to getting right with Him if you're not as a believer. Why waste your time? Life is short, and it's about bringing glory to Him. May God's blessing be on you. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank You for this word, and I pray You'll minister it to these people as only You can. I pray our hearts, Father, would be tender and more tender and more tender toward You and Your word and Your way. And Father, for those that are here today, and this may have just spoken to someone, and they would say, you know what? I'm a lot like that guy there in Exodus. My heart has been hardened in this area and that area, and I've just refused to humble myself to God. I pray that they will see it and experience the joy of getting right with You. And if there's someone here today or online who's yet to trust Christ as Savior, may they recognize they're a sinner, have a great need, and You've met that need in sending Your Son to pay the penalty for their sin, that through faith in Him they might be made new. Do that as well. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.